we're going to play that for a second for Parker. Just let it play. You are tuned in, hey, to the Black Conversion Show with your favorite hostess, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. All right, Parker, you can go ahead and slide it out a little bit. Hey, today is all about soul power here on Black Conversion Show, WMDX. I am your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson. I am the Black woman of Madison, Wisconsin. People love to hate and hate to love. So I'm glad you're tuned in with me today. We, as always, are going to talk about politics and tea from the Black perspective. Well, at least my Black perspective. You know, I just want to remind everybody, Black people are not monolithic, which means that we're not all the same. Even in Blackness, you have diversity and different spectrums of our culture, traditions, and ways of being. Soft reminder to people, what I say is often rooted in generalizations, but it doesn't make it true, nevertheless. You know what I mean? It doesn't make it false, but it doesn't make it true, and it's applicable. Amen. So as most people who listen to my show, the Black Conversion Show, might be aware of, I always start my day with a check-in with myself and whoever else is here with me. Today, I don't have any co-hosts, but I do have a new producer who's sitting in or filling in for Luke, my white boy, who's gone. But Parker is another white boy, like Parker, like Superman Parker. So Parker, yeah, there you go. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. We're off to a good start to the day.
Good.
I don't have too much after this, so I'm going to get a nap in when I go home.
Okay, good job.
And then I'm going to watch a Brewery game at 8 o'clock and then get up at 4 o'clock for work. So.
Good job, Parker. Tell us a little bit. Tell my listeners who you are, a little bit about you. Who are you, Parker?
So I am the producer for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is usually what I'm doing here. So that's our network-wide morning show from 6 to 9 a.m. I also do a little bit of stuff, a little bit of reporting stuff here as well. I just graduated from UW-Whitewater in May.
Okay, congratulations, Parker. What'd you graduate in?
Journalism. So I was I spent 4 years at that school newspaper. I was doing sports for 2 years, and I was a lead editor for a couple of years. Was doing news directing or stuff at the radio station there for a year. So, yeah.
Okay.
I got all kinds of stuff.
Okay, Parker, you got a girlfriend?
No, I don't.
Okay, y'all
We're
hit up Parker if you're looking for
it.
And how old are you, Parker?
I'm 22.
Oh, you young.
Yeah.
Okay. Parker needs a woman. So if you're interested, you hit up Parker at Civic Media. You can find him on the website.
My email is there, so right. Go for it.
Send him a little note, you know what I'm saying? Good. So also, I just want y'all to know that I'm doing all right. I just came from Washington, D.C. Me and Messiah, I took my son to Washington, D.C. as part of Reconnecting Communities, which was a summit. And then we went to the Capitol, did some speaking with some staffers, not actual senators or representatives, but staffers. And it was my first time ever really doing it and being in Washington, D.C. I did take my son to the African Museum of History and Culture. That was very telltale for him. He was fascinated with slavery. I think it's the first time that, I mean, we've talked about slavery. I've talked about the enslavement of people known as Black by white people and the power dynamic of white supremacy to my son and with my son. But being in the actual museum prompted so many questions for him. And he wanted to know, how did it work? Why did people do this? And he also was interested in the Emmett Till. They have like this room with Emmett Till stuff, a casket, pictures of Emmett Till. That really blew him away. And he really didn't understand that piece. He understood, but didn't understand. He understood as much as a 9-year-old brain could understand, if that makes sense. And also, he was interested in segregation. That really didn't make sense to him either. So we started talking about it more and what it means and why segregation was a thing. So I appreciate the opportunity, my trip to Washington, D.C., in the sense that it gave me time to spend with my son. And yes, I pulled him out of school for 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He went to school back on Friday. And I think he learned more with me in Washington, D.C. than he probably would have learned in school for the week. But it was very interesting. I felt like and again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. I'm just speaking and checking in about my week. And what stood out to me the most in Washington, D.C. was it felt fake. The Capitol felt fake. The energy felt fake. We did a tour of the Capitol, and they had these tour guys that were like talking about what was happening in the statues, and it just felt so fake. It was like, this statue represents when we were cutting funds, or this person, I can't remember what person it was, but it was people in the Capitol that represented the civil rights movement and different movements in history, like different times, and they symbolize, you know, change and effort and, you know, changing, you know, rooting ourselves in humanity. And then they're talking about it, and they, you know, about it in the sense of, oh, this person represented when we used to treat Black people this way or brown people this way. I'm like, hold up, we in the Capitol, in which Trump, who is the president, resides, and the same thing is happening. So it felt really whitewashed and superficial. So I got irritated, and I had to breathe my way through it and recognize where I was and why I was there, and that even when things irritate me and I don't agree with them, there's some learning and some opportunities for learning that still exists. So my experience in Washington, because I was with my son, I didn't really get a chance to go out of the tourist areas. My hotel was located near the Capitol, near the museum. So we just really did a lot of that. But I'm hoping the next time I return to Washington, D.C., I can explore Black communities more. And can I just say, Parker, that the National Guard wasn't doing anything? You know what they were doing in Washington, D.C.?
Picking up sandwiches that were thrown at them?
Yeah, well, that and they were walking around federal buildings.
Yeah.
Nothing was happening.
No.
They just kind of walked back and forth. And then as I talked to other, like, Black people, just randomly, I'm a random person, y'all. I will come and talk to strangers. I'm just that kind of person. And people feel comfortable enough to talk to me back. So I must be an okay person, okay? So I'm talking to this elderly Black woman. I just seen her sitting at the park, and I sat down next to her on a bench. I started talking to her, like, girl, where do I go to eat? You know, where, you know, blah, blah, blah. I asked her about the National Guard. She says, sis, this is just an illusion. All of our National Guards are young people who just need to make some money, who said, I'll take that job. And she's like, look at their faces. They're not doing anything. They're just walking back and forth. So we talked a little bit about that. And then she sent me into a couple of spaces, and she's like, and don't pay attention to the people who are homeless. Like, they're not going to harm you. You don't mess with them. They don't mess with you. I've been living here all my life. So it was, I understand that. I mean, I'm used to being around people who are homeless or not in the best situations in their lives. And I never feel afraid. I never feel uncomfortable. And I have been around people who feel uncomfortable with homeless people, which is weird to me, but maybe because I used to be homeless and I am a person. So anyway, I'm just giving you a quick update with Brandi Grayson here on 92.7 FM. Today, we're going to focus on one of my heroes, one of the leaders of the Black Liberation Movement, the Black Panthers Movement, Assata Shakur. She has passed away, and I want us to talk about her. It was interesting to me as I was talking to people about her when she passed away the other day, that most people did not know who she was. They didn't know her story. They didn't know much about her. But Assata Shakur was the godmother of Tupac Shakur. I bet you all know Tupac. We should play a little of his music, Parker, you know, just because.
We can do it.
But Assata Shakur was a freedom fighter for the Black Panther movement, and was charged with shooting and killing a New Jersey police officer. And she went into exile. I can't remember. It's about 40 years ago. I'll give you more details when we return. But we're going to learn about her today, because y'all need to understand the importance of her. And what you may not also know is that when Obama was in office, he put a $2 million bounty on her head. And I think the politics of that for him was he needed to kill Castro. Do you know, Parker, who killed what is the dude named, the president of Cuba?
Fidel Castro?
Yeah, who killed him? Who murdered him? Was it Obama?
Oh, God, I have zero idea. I don't know anything about that.
Okay, we're going to look it up. Maybe he just killed bin Laden. You know, presidents are always killing somebody, murdering someone before they leave office. So we're going to talk about that and the politics behind that. Also, I want to talk today about the shutdown of our federal government and the impact locally in our community and nationwide. And as you guys know, Urban Triage is a nonprofit organization. I am the CEO and founder of this local organization. We do predominantly housing work, and we do and we serve predominantly homeless people in our community. And that has impacted, the shutdown has impacted us tremendously. We don't know where a lot of our funding stands. We had a contract that was set to be executed with HUD that Monday right before the shutdown, and then our HUD folks disappeared. They were supposed to send me over the contract, and then they just disappeared like ghosts. I was like, oh my God, no. So yeah, there is some real implications to this shutdown. But I also want, I feel like Black Conversion Show is an opportunity for education and teaching. We need to understand why the shutdown is occurring. And a part of it is like the Republicans, like they always do, are mega people, and the folks who support them, who don't often think a lot or process information, who are not critical thinkers, but followers of people and systems like Fox News. They don't get it. They don't really get what's going on and why the shutdown is happening. We must understand that the shutdown is happening because the Democrats have no other choice. If they want to save your Medicaid, they have to do something. This big ugly bill that folks are talking about that gives the tax cuts to the rich has a huge implications for us in 2027. And the problem is we don't see the effects right away sometimes to some decisions and legislations and bills. And then when it happens, we're like, oh, shoot, what's happening? And the next president gets kind of the effect of that. And I hope it's not Trump, but the way he's going in this direction of not following the law, he might just try to be president again. So anyway, we're going to talk more about why the shutdown is happening, the importance, and what information you should be aware of. I'm also going to teach you something else today on the Black Conversion Show. We're going to learn about Dr. Amos Wilson, a Black man, a psychiatrist, one of the leaders of Black thought. And I know you probably never heard of him, but you're going to learn today, along with Ashada Shakur. So the purpose of my platform, for people who are new to the Black Conversion Show and Brandi Grayson out of Madison, Wisconsin, is to teach you a couple things. One thing I realize as a Black woman is that ignorance is so blissful. And because folks are so ignorant and they don't read and they don't have opportunity or resources or even have the inclination to read, they often are making their opinions and basing their opinions on feelings and something they read or saw on TikTok or Facebook. Or just their opinion. Like, y'all, why y'all think y'all opinions is rooted in facts? Well, I think, what do you think? Have you read a book lately? Have you picked up or, you know, developed an analysis around anything? Do you know what it means when I say white supremacy, patriarchal capitalism? Do you know what fascism means? Do you? And no, I don't pronounce words right. I can't even say pronunciation. Go ahead and say it, partner. Parker, how do you say pronunciation?
Pronunciation?
See, you even say it different. Pronunciation. So I might not be good at pronouncing words or, you know, I mess up people's names, but I know some stuff. So that is my intention here on Black Conversion Show, is to teach you something. So you want to stay tuned, y'all, because we're going to get into the Kool-Aid and the politics. Also, I don't know if you guys been following Mayor Brandon Johnson out of Chicago, but that brother is playing no games with Trump and his people. And can I just acknowledge he's the first mayor I've ever heard a Black mayor say out loud, white supremacy. I almost failed out. Yep, that's what I said, failed out. I almost fell out. When that brother said, look, y'all hate me because of, it's not because I'm Black. It's because I'm the first Black mayor. I'm the Black mayor who didn't need your support to get into office. I said, okay, bro, go ahead and teach a little some. So when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about Mayor Brandon Johnson out of Chicago, Illinois, Ashada Shakur. You're going to learn about Dr. Amos Wilson. And then I might even tell you a little bit my business, because y'all be listening because y'all be wanting to know my personal business, but I don't be caring because y'all know I be telling y'all everything here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. Please stay tuned because I got all the tea after the break.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, you are tuned back in to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. So, okay, anyway, we're going to get right into this, Parker. Parker, for my new listeners, is my producer for today. Parker is new to the Brandi Grayson Show, the Black Conversion Show. I often like to make new producers uncomfortable because I am the blackest as it gets for them most of the time. Parker is 22 years old from Whitewater, and he doesn't have a girlfriend. So if you're interested...
Oh, boy. Wow.
Hit Parker up. Okay. So anyway, today we're going to learn some things. I want you guys to know who Dr. Amos Wilson was. He was a African-American psychiatrist, social theorist, scholar, author, and professor of psychology at the City University of New York. Okay. He studied the development psychology of Black children, Black people. He often talked about the falsification of Black consciousness and what it takes to get Black people to think that they are inferior and to be complacent in their own destruction. So I want you to do me a huge favor, and this is going to transition us into the conversation around Assata Shakur, who was a Black liberator, Black movement leader during the Black Panthers, who lived out her life in exile in Cuba. And she escaped from prison. She was accused of killing a New Jersey police officer in the 70s. She was born in 1946, I think, or something like that. So we're going to learn about her today. But I think context is important for how we get to or had a Black Panther movement or a Black liberation movement and the importance of that those kind of movements today. Go ahead, Parker. Go ahead and play my clip.
Americans have a criminal history. They have a criminal nation. The nation is built on criminality and murder and exploitation. It is a part of their collective psyche. The United States is a mafia government. No one has done more damage and degradation and murder, rape, and robbery than Europeans. Yes. Therefore, in order to escape confrontation with their true criminal nature, they must accuse others of being criminals. What we call projection. They must become obsessed with the criminality of other people. And Black folk become those other people, you see. But as Ken, like say, Clinton Cox say, you call the Indians savages so you could behave toward them what? Savagely. That's the function of stereotyping, you see. If I call you a criminal, then I can treat you what? Criminally. I don't owe you justice. In fact, shooting you in the street is justice. We know you are already a criminal. Why should we bother to take you to trial? Yes, that's what it is. We're doing a service. We're saving the taxpayers' money. What have we lost? A criminal? What are you complaining about? Yeah, this is the deal. What does it mean then? When you can become, then often people, in order to escape certain problems, become obsessed with other issues to the point where they don't have time or the energy or anything else to think about anything else. They don't see anything else. So I can forget my self-hatred. I can forget my self-alienation. If I concentrate on how much I love myself. But this is a bad kind of love, you see. It's not the right kind of love. If I concentrate on what? How great I am. If I concentrate on making other people see what? How great I am. You see? And therefore, my 24 hours a day, I'm obsessed by projecting my what? Greatness. And I will... But that greatness is coming out of what? Hatred and inferiority. And since I'm greater than everyone else, I must make everyone else superior. In what? Inferior to me. In fact, I can only love people who attest to my superiority. I can only love a woman who 24 hours a day maintains.
Okay, Parker, thank you. So I think it's, again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, your teacher. No, I don't have a degree in teaching, but I do know a couple of things. Anyway, that was Dr. Amos Wilson, a psychiatrist. Everybody should know Dr. Amos Wilson. If you're Black, white, or in between, you should study him. I understand that we love credentials, and his brother had some credentials. He was most famous for his study of Black children psychology, the psychology of children. And one of the things that he said that I thought was the most interesting is the fact that white people have to see themselves as the greatest of all time, and that they are set in this idea of superiority, and that and they have created and have done the most violent criminal activities in the history of humankind, y'all, in the globe. And when I say the globe, I mean the entire globe, right? And in order to deal with that reality, they first must deny it, right? And they must first say, I didn't do that. That was my ancestors. That has nothing to do with me. And then they must turn around and say, I am the prototype of humanity, which means that I am the great I am. And anything that doesn't correlate or support that I am the great I am must be destroyed, right? And that person, thing, or situation who doesn't see me as the great I am is a problem. And that is what leads to white fragility. And the problem with white privilege is because, y'all, the thing that white people can't see or understand, I shared on Facebook earlier, I had a conversation with a woman who was upset because I didn't value her. And I get it. Like, everybody wants to be seen and valued. But at the same time, she had a hard time seeing my value and what I do in the world. And because of it, it led to tears and hurt and trauma for her, which was really real for her. That's the thing. Like, the emotional part of it is really real. But the traumatic part of it is that it's dangerous for Black bodies, for brown bodies. It's dangerous for humanity, which gets us where we're at today with a Trump, this white man who's represents mediocrity and is supported by white idiocracy. Like, the where we at is so scary, y'all. I'm going to tell you more about why understanding the psychology of white supremacy is important. So you want to stay tuned, because we're going to go right into Assata Shakur, who she was and why she is important to Black history and where we're at today. Stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.3. Oop, I messed that up. Be back. All right, y'all. It is your girl, Brandi Grayson. All right. Here on 92.7 FM, I messed it up before, the Black Conversion Show. Your host is with the mostest, and the Black woman you love to hate and hate to love. Y'all know y'all can't help but to love me. It's something about me. I walk in a room and you're like, ooh, who's that girl? Who's that girl? And then my dimple pop up. Who's that girl? And then you see my bright teeth. And my good skin. Yeah, that melanin be popping. I'll be mad too. Shoot. Anyway, before break, my people, we were talking about white people. Y'all know I do that a lot on my show, white supremacy and white people. Parker, how does that make you feel? Have you ever been with Black people who talk about white people like I talk about white people? You know, Parker's only 22.
Probably not quite the exact same way. So I'm from Madison, though.
Okay.
So I went to Madison La Follette, which has a really diverse population.
It is.
Yeah, no, I'm probably way more exposed than most white people are.
Okay, period, Parker. And I remember talking to someone else that said, a white person said, hey, my kids went to La Follette, but they actually had a different experience from the Black children. Oh, that was my boy, Jeff. My boy, Jeff. Anyway, y'all need to know. Y'all know Jeff, but I ain't going to get into details. But my white boy, Jeff, who always is supportive. Shout out to you, Jeff. I love you. You've been part of Urban Triage since the beginning. Okay, but he was explaining, it was at La Follette or East. Anyway, he was saying his same kid, because he only had one, went to the East, I think it was, and it was diverse, but his kid didn't have the same experience as the Black children, which is why we really need to get into understanding how we can exist in the same building and not have the same experience. So, like Parker said, you know, I'm around Black people, so I'm probably been around a few people that act like you, so I'm a little bit more comfortable. So I rock with that. I rock with that, Parker. Okay, anyway, back to the point that I'm making about white people. High and White Supremacy here on the Black Conversion Show. Before our break, we listened to Dr. Amos Wilson, Critique of Whiteness and the Criminality of Whiteness, and why they need and why generally on a system level and a political and a government level, they have to make other people responsible for their actions, right? Everything Trump is doing is because somebody did something to him, like a big baby, right? He is the extreme version of white fragility, and he's extreme version of narcissistic personality where I am the greatest of all time. I've always said that white supremacy is rooted in narcissism, narcissistic traits where you're just unable to connect with how you impact other people, how you affect other people. You're unable to see the humanity in other people or have empathy because the only people that actually exist in your world is white people. So when you're forced to like maybe think that Brandi Grayson is a human and that maybe she doesn't always act in the best ways or make the best decision, and then you have to contend with the fact that, hey, when if it's a white person, I'm always like, well, they're human, people make mistakes. But when there's a black person, you're like, no, they must be exceptional and extraordinary. Anyway, oh goodness, I got distracted with my own triggers there.
Take a breath, that's okay.
Okay, back to my point. White fragility is often hard for white people to understand. I'm going to talk about Assata Shakur and why she's important for us to understand. Parker, before I get to Assata Shakur, can you do me a huge favor, my brother, and play my 45-second clip on white fragility so we can get a foundational understanding here on the Black Convergence Show?
White fragility operates in such a way that whiteness as a concept is as strong as polystyrene. If you criticize whiteness, it falls apart and attacks you because the entire structure and origin of whiteness is rooted in the oppression of other people. Whiteness as a presence is cannibalistic in its nature. It steals, it colonizes, and it victimizes itself to maintain its status as both victim and oppressor. And if you want to see white supremacy in action, observe white women. That's all I'm going to say for now.
Yeah. So I think she summed it up perfectly. It's like white fragility is like their own, like the inability to see their whiteness in action. And I believe it is perfectly seen in white women, like this victim mentality. But you're an oppressor and you don't understand the power dynamics of your whiteness. So when things don't feel comfortable, you cry. Oh my God, she's being so mean. Why is Brandi like that? And you know, the funny part is, Parker, I can talk to somebody with a smile and God darn it, I am cute. I mean, look at my smile. I'm so welcoming.
Just a doll.
Look at my face, Parker. Isn't it cute?
You're very welcoming. You're approachable.
I'm like, hey, y'all. So I want to talk to you about some things. And then as soon as I say, no, actually, we're not going to do that. And we're going to do this way. They're like, oh my God, she was moving with her hands and it's aggressive. I'm a very expressive person. I'm very high energy, you know. But instead of them being able to say, well, maybe this is something about me, it's almost like it's impossible to reflect. And that's how narcissism is. I don't know if you've ever dated a narcissist. I've dated a few as an empathic person and someone who has a codependency. I have a tendency to be codependent due to my trauma. And yes, I'm really real about who I am. My trauma really messed me up, y'all. Growing up in the hood, being sexually abused, not having a mama who was on drugs, having a family who were all alcoholics, growing up in Chicago during the times where you couldn't walk down the street. Well, it's probably still like that in some areas, but I lived in a community where you would walk down the street and get robbed for your starter jacket. And can I just say, I had a really cute starter jacket. One of my mama's boyfriends that I really liked, and then she left, bought me a Hornets jacket. Y'all know what I'm talking about, that pullover, that, and I had the jeans. Okay, this is for all my black people that lived in the 80s. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show, by the way, with your girl Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM WMDX. And I am just sharing my experience from the perspective of a girl from the hood, from Chicago. So in Chicago, I remember I got these blue jeans that had the suede. They were purple. Then I had my Hornets jacket and I had some Jordans that had came out that was purple and turquoise. Whoa, I was hot. I had to be like 9 or 10 years old. It was the best thing popping. But back in the day, those were things that you would get robbed for when I lived there. You'd get robbed for your Jordans. You'd get robbed for your jacket. So I shared this to say that my expertise and my vulnerability and my trauma comes from that kind of experience. And living something in the world that has made it their business to destroy me and made it in me as an individual, but me as a black woman, okay, a powerful, strong black woman, and has made it its business to destroy me. So I'm impacted a lot, and I never want to make people think that I am somehow perfected this thing called life or humanity. So I share a lot, and I try to reflect and I try to be honest. But back to my point before, white supremacy manifests as narcissism, this inability to see yourself, to acknowledge that you might just be the problem. You might be showing up in ways that are anti-black. You might be indoctrinated in a system that made you the princess, that made you the king, that made you almighty great, and God is, and God that, and God this, and how great you are, and how expertise you are, and everything that you do. And when someone pushes back, because this is the thing, when I enter spaces with white women, when I push back and say, no, that's actually not the best setup, structure, or program design for people who are experiencing homelessness, or black people, or black staff, or how my organization runs, or how I would like to see this campaign run, or how I would like this to be done, they are so but hurt. Because who do you think you are, black woman? I am a white woman. I know what's needed. I know how it should go. And when you don't listen to me, black woman, my feelings are hurt, and you are bullying me, and you are being aggressive, and you are violent. That's the feedback. Yep. And that's white fragility. So thanks, my sister, for sharing that on the clip. I don't even know the young lady's name that I shared, but that is white fragility. And like Dr. Amos Wilson said, please look them both, Dr. Amos, up, about white psychiatry, this great I am, and like your ability to live in a world where you can avoid responsibility for what's happening after. The fact that we have a Trump in office is a white person problem. Y'all did this, and y'all continue to do it in history. It's like history is repeating itself from Hitler and from the 30s and from the 1860s when the Great Revolution happened or whatever, when slavery ended and y'all didn't want slavery to end. We're not talking about the Civil War, but like after the Civil War, like after it was fought and they said A, B, and C happened, and then we had to have a great reset. And then the federal government had to send armies and militaries into communities to protect black people because y'all was lynching and killing them. And then once they left, that you start lynching and killing us in numbers that's unthinkable, cutting off our fingers, our tongues, and putting it in your windowsill and bragging about it and bringing your children to the ceremony like it was a celebration. That's demonic. And that's some psychological stuff. And the residue of that in now times and presence is real. Do me a favor, Parker, go ahead and get ready to play that Sada Shakur, because we're going to talk about why she was needed and why she is a liberator and why her memory and her legacy must live on. You are tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the most, is the black woman you love to hate, here on 92.7 FM. Go ahead, Parker.
Is Asata Olubala Shakur. Asata means she who struggles. Olubala means for the people, and Shakur means the thankful. I think I come from a very strong history, and I simply want to live on this planet to continue that tradition and to try in my little way to make my ancestors proud. The only way that we're going to realize freedom, justice, equality, decent living for people is if there's a complete change. Everything has got to be turned around, and that's the revolution, a complete change.
In the United States, what exists right now is total alienation. People are alienated from each other to the point where people are afraid to have eye contact with other people, afraid to smile at people, afraid to say good morning, good afternoon, how you doing? That is hell.
I come from a tradition of women, Maroons, Cimarrones, who didn't just try to escape from oppression, but were totally mind, body, spirit committed to resisting and committed to winning.
In order for us to effectively change this world, we're going to have to change ourselves. We're going to have to change how we relate to each other as human beings.
My name.
All right. Thank you for that, Parker. I wanted us to hear her voice. I wanted us to hear how soft she was, how soft-spoken she was. Asada Shakur represents what I would classify or term as she was the symbol of softness and ruthless. She was ruthless in her pursuit of freedom and Black liberation. She was ruthless in her commitment to the revolution and to the freedom of Black bodies. And if you don't know who she is, she was born, and when was she born? It was like 1947. I think she was born in 1947, y'all. And she became part of the Black Liberation Army and was a and also was a part of the Black Panther movement. She was a member of that group. And she was she's not known so much about the work she was doing in the Black Panther movement, but she was known for being part of the Black Liberation Army. And I'm going to return with more information on her. Y'all should know who she is. So I ran out of time because I was talking too much. But I got one more segment. So stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, the Black girl, your educator for you on this podcast. See you in a second.
How special you are.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, it's your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. Ooh, I love me some me. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. Okay, so prior to break, we were talking about Asada Shakur, Black leader, Black liberator, Black woman who recently passed away in Cuba, September 24th. 2025, I think was the date that she died. I am correct. September 25. She died in Cuba. She was in exile. She was accused of murdering a New Jersey police officer in 1976, I believe. During this time, there was the Black Liberation Army and the Black Panther movement. Many members of the Black Panther movement was part of the Black Liberation Army. The Army's purpose was to protect Black people in the face of state violence. And what was occurring at this time is that white police officers, white systems, CIA, FBI, the president, the governments, the city were killing Black Panthers movement people, locking them up, arresting them, setting them up. There was a lot of death at this time. The more Black people rise up, the more upset that white people get. If white people say, I don't want you around me and I want to segregate, and Black people segregate even today, and we'd be like, cool, we're going to go develop our own thing. We're going to go have our own football team and we're going to go do what we do. What y'all think white people going to do? They're going to come into our communities and try to kill us. Because who do you think you are? You can't be greater than me, Black person. But the crazy part is what would white people do without Black people? What would y'all do? What would your sports look like? What would your, oh my God, do you see the Black gymnasts and the people, Black sports, the singers, the artists, the things that we cultivate? I have my son reading this book called Black People Invented Everything. I just imagine what life would be like in this world without us. Poor Tink Tinks. But you must make yourself believe that you are greater than us in order for the system to continue as it is. So part of Asada Shakur's thing was, hey, we need to get rid of the whole system because the system is founded on this culture and destruction of humanness. People don't speak. They don't look at each other. They don't smile. There's no relationship, which is ironic because that's what urban triage is based in. And our education is learning how to relate to one another, how to be in relationship first with yourself, then with your children and your family, and then with your community. I know that sounds like an easy way to, like, so cliche, but that is the way to fight narcissism, which is the foundation of white supremacy. So what people may not know is when she was accused of killing this New
New Jersey officer. She was tried multiple times, Asada Shakur. There was hung juries, there was dismiss, and finally they got a jury to find her guilty, and they sent her to prison, and she was pregnant. And guess what? My girl broke out of prison, had her people break her out, and she took a private jet to Cuba. And she has been hiding in Cuba since 19-something, 79, 89. I don't know. Y'all look it up. It's Google. It's all on Google. And she died recently there. So let's just give a shout out to the only known Black Panther Liberation Army member to flee and have them live out their last 40-something years in freedom. And she died of natural cause. Shout out to the Cuba government for protecting her, because they didn't care how much money Obama put on her head. You know, I liked Obama. He was Black. He was stylish. And man, his woman looked like shea butter. I saw me and Michelle Obama. But that brother did put a $2 million bounty on her head. And there were some positive things he did, and that wasn't one of them. Okay, moving on. I also want y'all to understand what is occurring in this the shutdown. Go ahead, Parker, real quick, because we are running out of time. But let's play this quick clip by Jon Stewart explaining why Democrats must continue to hold their ground.
75 million Americans voted for a Democrat in this last round of presidential elections. And at this moment, they have zero power at the federal level, not in the House, not in the Senate, not in the executive, and not in the courts. There has not been a moment of conciliation or concern about the issues and policies that drove those 75 million votes. Not a moment. At present, the Democrats' largest victory over these past 8 months is getting a guy who may or may not be a criminal back from El Salvador so Trump could send him to Uganda. That was the big win. And then suddenly, a small ask for people's preservation of health care is a Molotov cocktail. Because apparently Republicans won't be satisfied with 99.8% domination. They must have it all. ICE went from deporting the worst of the worst to throwing grandmothers onto linoleum and zip-tying American children. And everyone's just supposed to be cool with the new masked, incredibly well-funded paramilitary group. And Democrats are just reduced to petty gestures of restroom resistance.
Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem posted that she was blocked from entering a city building in Illinois.
Can I use the restroom?
No, you cannot.
We can?
So go ahead and cut it, Parker. I want y'all to understand, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson. And real quick, I want you to understand what we're facing in 26 and 27, y'all. We are in trouble. There's going to be great tax breaks given to the most wealthier amongst us. The people who make a little money and think you have worked your off to make it and save, you will be the most affected. See, the thing about it, y'all, is that when poor people, because I've been poor, I've been very, very poor, I've been homeless. The thing about poor people is they know how to survive. We know how to hustle. We know how, when COVID hit, I'm going to tell y'all, Black people did their thing. We made businesses. We did our thing. White people, people with the privilege, the people with the fragility, the people who just don't know how to face what we've been facing since you brought our Black bodies over here and lied to us about our Black bodies already being here. When you rewrote history and said the only way Black people came to America was on the ships. But I just want y'all to know, all Black people were the original people. We were dark, dark. Okay, and I know that's a whole little thing with Indigenous people hating me, but I'm sorry, you are connected to me, Indigenous people. Somewhere down the line, you have roots to my Black self. And I love you, and I hope one day you figure out how to love Black people. So back to what I was saying, y'all. The Democrats have nothing. We have nothing. Trumps and Republicans control every house. If we allow this Medicaid to be cut, y'all, you know my mama, your grandmama is going to be in trouble. And not only that, our health insurance will double. I now pay $985 a month in health insurance for me and my son, two people. And when this happens, if this goes through, I will be paying $2,000, $2,200. My life will change, and so will yours. We really need to read and become critical thinkers. We allowed this to happen, and we allow capitalism and your fear of Black people and brown people and your fear of not being great white people to put us here where we're at now. And now y'all need to wake up. Y'all need to wake the heck up. And y'all need to be in these streets. Y'all need to be shutting it down. Y'all need to be boycotting everything, but you won't because it hasn't affected you yet. Thank you for tuning in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson here on 92.7 FM, the Black woman you love to hate and hate to love, but I love me, and that's all that matters. See you next time.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.